The radio broadcast portion of the worship service from the United Church of Christ in Neillsville is given by Jim Phillips in loving memory of his wife, Ann Phillips. Today's service is led by Reverend Brian Sashiro. Reverend Sashiro is a composer, singer, and worship leader. We thank him for leading the service today.
Despite there being an asterisk, you can remain seated for this. But the rules of the rest of the states and no church cases apply. Thank you. Gracious God, we are so deeply grateful for these offerings, these gifts, these tithes, and the expressions of commitment that they represent. We ask that you would guide the leaders of this congregation to use these resources faithfully in ways to glorify you, serve this community, this church, and the world. In the name and to the glory of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm going to be reading now from the book of Romans. And actually, this reading, for those of you who were in worship last week, when you evidently have reflected on Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount to love your enemies, an extremely challenging teaching, this really picks up right where that left off. So listen for God's word to you in Romans 12, verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. But take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourself. But leave room for the judgment or wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says God. Now, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here is the beginning. Well, first let me say that somewhat confusing verse about heaping burning coals on their heads sounds a little bit passive aggressive. It's actually a quote right out of Proverbs 25. Those exact things, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, if you're thirsty. And the Apostle Paul is hearkening back to that. I'm not going to spend any time on it, but I think rather than literally wanting to do harm with your good, which as I said seems kind of passive aggressive, it's about appealing through your love and your kindness to someone's conscience. And sometimes when someone does you wrong and you respond with a completely different response, coming from a place of love, then that sort of activates your strength to work on that person's conscience. And that's what those burning coals are about. It starts a fire that maybe later on, not always right away, but maybe later on, helps them to change their mind. As I was reflecting on this text for this morning, it was the very last phrase, overcome evil with good. That just grabbed me. So much so that I put together a little chorus, a brand new chorus, that if you have the words to, if you look in your bulletin, you'll see a little insert there, half a page, that's called Overcome Evil with Good. And you will be the first group to ever sing this little chorus with me, and depending on how it goes among ourselves, you may be the last. Right? But I just thought it would be kind of fun to try this, okay? It goes like this. Overcome evil with good. Trust God's love. Let's try that much. Ready? Aggressive mistakes. Overcome evil with good. Trust God's love. Love that's deeper than the way of wrong for wrong. Try it. Love that's deeper than the way of wrong for wrong. Beyond the ending, we respond. Thank you. if you probably take any nugget away this morning, that might be the most important one. This is because so much of what happens in the world, in our personal lives, even internationally, even politically or whatever, is a reaction. And we come back at somebody with what they came at us. That was the old way of an eye for an eye, right? You do something to me, I'm going to do it back to you. Now let's face it, that's in all of us pretty deeply, isn't it? You hurt me, there's something in me that just wants to hurt you back. And here's what's different about us if we would be followers of Jesus. He says, I'm telling you to stop and to pause and choose the energy of love instead of the reaction of vengeance. That has so many different applications. But next time, you catch yourself. When you fly off the handle, or something comes at you, or some problem, or something happens, and you catch yourself reacting, that's the moment right there. I often think of Einstein. Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem with the same energy that created it. Well, Jesus was even smarter than us, Einstein. And he's saying to us, respond instead of reacting with love. And that is how this world, according to John 13, will know you're my disciple. By love. Now, I'll be the first one to say, way easier said than done. Right? And that's why grace and mercy toward ourselves and each other is so important. Because I guarantee none of us will ever do this perfectly. But this is our challenge, our invitation, and in many ways our gift to the world. I don't know about you, but as I listen to the news, as I just try to take the temperature of our culture and the world right now, it seems like there is so much reacting. And so God is saying, hey, church, I want you to be the people who bring the response, not the reaction, the response of love to this world. All right, now, I know how unrealistic that sounds, doesn't it? And that's why I want to teach you this next song. You have on that same sheet, you have a little word for the chorus here. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's a spiritual thing. And it's a small miracle, really. And what it's really about is having God's Spirit alive inside of us, and God loving the world and other people, especially when it's hard, through us. And then it's not us pulling it off, it's not us being good, it's us saying yes to God's Spirit flowing through our lives. And so we just need to pray about that. So here's what the chorus of the little prayer I want to teach you goes like this. Spirit, come.
I don't want to spend my life hating anybody.
out in some conversations with that lifeguard. But I finally said, okay, God, if you're really there, then show me how to love these guys instead of getting even. I went back to school in the fall. We were all expecting to swear off. And instead, I just had been given this gift of loving a man. And at first, I thought it was a game. It took a whole year. And finally, my best friend saw me out and said, I don't know what happened to you. And I'm really sorry what I did. You think you could forgive me? Because by then, I've been reading that New Testament a lot, and I saw Jesus saying to the guys, the soldiers who were putting nails in his hands, God, they don't know what they're doing. And when we hurt each other like that, we usually don't either, not really. All right, well, there's a part of us that says, no, you know darn well, yeah, I know. It's not really. That's just one small example for me. You got the words, right? That love of God in us that changes the energy, that comes back in a response rather than a reaction. Well, it's like water on a mountaintop that can create a Grand Canyon. It might be slower. It might be more subtle. But it's the most powerful force in the world. One more quick example. Not my life. Something in the so-called real world of World War II. In the country of Bulgaria, the Nazis had gathered up all of the Jews in a certain town. They were taking them to the train station to take them to the concentration camps, and you knew what that was about. They were all there in this fenced-in area, and a bishop called Metropolitan Kirill, a bishop in the Eastern Orthodox Church, a very tall man, evidently, long gray beard, had a mitre on his head, he must have looked like a giant. He walks up to the crowd where the Nazis are and pushes the soldiers and their guns away and goes and stands in the midst of the crowd, the Jews, this Christian bishop. And he quotes the book of Ruth. What Ruth says to Naomi. It says, I will go wherever you go. Your God will be my God, and where you die, I will die. True story. The soldiers, in an unprecedented story, were so shocked by the boldness of his love that they let him go. And not one Jew was killed in a concentration camp in the country of Bulgaria, despite it being a Nazi-occupied country. So let's not kid ourselves that this love that Jesus is talking about is just some naive thing that doesn't really apply in the world. The real challenge is, will we risk it ourselves? Well, you know, I'm looking at the clock and realizing that they're coming for a landing pretty soon. Let's skip one song. And slightly shift gears. And just say, you know, I wonder if anybody here today is feeling overwhelmed. This life's just coming at you in too many different ways. And you're having a hard time. I like to share a song, very simple, that I wrote as a gift to my mother when she was terminally ill. My mom didn't believe in God much. She spent a good part of her adult life wondering what in the world happened to me. But she loved me. And when her diagnosis came, and she realized, even though she was only 72, she wasn't going to last much longer apart from some miracle. She called me up one day. She said, you really believe in this God stuff? I said, yeah, Mom, I really do. think life goes on? I could say it a little more, I don't want to take time. But this is a song that I wrote for her. She didn't get to hear it at the time, but I think from where she is now, she's glad others are.
The radio broadcast portion of the worship service from the United Church of Christ in Neillsville is given by Jim Phillips, in loving memory of his wife, Ann Phillips.